Okay, we are recording. Don't forget anything. So this actually was, don't say anything you don't want to be on the internet. This was inspired by Rav Kupperman's Pshusha Pshusha Shemikra about the Parsha, but I didn't end up using a whole lot of it, but it served as a way of understanding the Yarche Kala that the St. Louis Kola had last week. Memory of Lester Zephron and Rabbi Gershon Zephron.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This was given by Rav Shlomo Sinneman, who's somewhere in New York. He's a cousin of Rav Rifkin.
Oh.
The former chief rabbi. Right. And the topic was about Asur Lahatzil Asma Mimaman Chavero. You can't save yourself with someone else's money. So. This is the way his presentation was.
You can't save yourself someone's money. What about the people who give money to redeem you if you're a captive?
Ah, so you people, okay, we'll talk about that. You're allowed to give money to save other people, but I can't take it from you just because I need it.
Oh, you can't steal. Like if somebody, you can't steal it because someone, someone is like starving, God forbid, and you're like, oh, I need this money for food. You can't steal it.
Let's look at it inside. Obviously, okay. One of these ethical questions, and nothing I'm telling you here should be hakol masa.
And hopefully it won't be an issue.
Because I don't know anything. But we're going to start with Tanakh, because I know something about Tanakh. And this is Shmuel Bet Perikov Gimel, the listing of Hagiborim Hashel David. It's David's band of warriors from the days he was in Midbar Yehuda. He was a bandit king and then just king in Hebron. And it's a long list on various vignettes from those days.
Danny, I call those guys David's Mari men.
David's Mari, Mari men, right. Not Mary, but Mar.
Mar.
Mari men. So, Bacharab Shema ben Agahari, and the next one on the list, when you go in there, put it out, was Shema ben Agahari. Vesfu Plishtim Lachaya, and the Plishtim, this is the point where they were at war with the Plishtim, they all gathered together in a camp. Batisham Chakara Sadeh Moyad Hashem, and they were there in a field of lentils. But I'm not specific, and the people all ran away because the Plishtim were there. Vitzeh B'tocha Chalaka, and this Shama ben Aga stood in the field, Vayetzila, and saved it, Vayach Plishtim, attacked the Plishtim. Yas Hashem, Shua Gedolah, and Hashem saved them, a great salvation. Vayedu Shloshat Me'ashloshim Rosh, and three of David's Mari men were called the Shloshim, the 30. That was actually 37 of his chief warriors. Three of them went by Avol Kitzir David. They came at the harvest time to David El Marat Udulam when he was in the cave in Udulam. Bechat Plishtim Chana Ba'emek Rafaim, and the camp of Plishtim were in Emek Rafaim.
There are a lot of restaurants in Emek Rafaim.
Okay, so that's what Plishtim were all eating out at that point, I guess.
Yeah, right? A lot of the American tourists are there.
Okay. The Pasuk doesn't mention Americans. It's all Plishtim here.
Right.
So things have changed. But now we got Plishtim are in Emek Rephaim. David's in hiding in Adulam. The David Az Mitzudah. David's in his fortress in Adulam. What's up, Plishtim Az Beit Lechem? And there was also a garrison of Plishtim in Beit Lechem, just north of there. Right? My geography right?
Derek Beit Lechem is just north of Derek Emek Rephaim.
Okay, so it's close by.
What's yeah. now?
What did she say?
Mickey, what's now?
That's now. Yeah, that is now. I'm only talking
okay,
about
Okay, we're going to assume that it's the same Emek Rephaim, the same Beit Lechem, right? The geography hasn't changed, the restaurants have changed, and the Americans.
Okay.
There's a train track in between. That's where Mitch Wolf is. Okay.
That for sure wasn't there.
Right. So here's what's interesting. Then, and David had incredible longing. He lusted for it. He said, "Mi ashkeni mayim, who will give me a drink of water? Be'er Beit Lechem, from the well in Beit Lechem, asher bashar, that's in the gate." And then these three shloshah from the shloshim go get the water from the be'er in Beit Lechem, and it's got a whole story there. And what does it mean? Why is David so interested in water? From Beit Lechem, he was born in Beit Lechem, maybe he liked the way it tasted, right? From those restaurants, had really good water. I don't know, it's a very strange story. What's it doing in Shmuel? It's a Sefer Nevuah. What's the lesson there? So Gemara looks at that and says, midrashically, that this was a halachic ethical question there. What's happening? Dov is at war with the plishtim. They're hiding in the field. Dov wants to burn them out. He can light the field on, he can set the field on fire, win the battle, flush them out, save all of Israel. But lighting fires, especially in the Yom and Kippur in the summertime, is a really bad idea. Okay, fires are uncontrollable. He does that, he's going to burn down all the fields of all the Bnei Israel, all of Yehuda that he's there to save. So that's what it means. He's looking for Yashkini Mayim, because Ein Mayim Ela Torah. He's looking for halachic ethical advice. I know I can burn it down. Am I allowed to? Can I? Should I? And he's saying the nearest Beit Din, whatever the anachronistic, whatever the equivalent of Beit Din was at the time of David was, to ask the question was Beit Lechem. So that's the word, that's the mayim that he wanted for Beit Lechem, from the Shaar. Shaar is always the term of the courts there. He needs an answer. What do I do now? This is where the Gemara of Makal puts it. And David wanted, cried out, who would give me water from the well of Beit Lechem? Afuna Amar, Yidishim Disarim Disrael Havu. There were piles of barley belonging to the Jews. Havu Metamri Plishtim Bahu, that the Plishtim were hiding with it. Come and violate. So David's is asking the question, Mahu L'Hatzil Asmo Maman Chavero. Is it possible to save oneself with one's fellow's money? Can I burn the field, save myself, and then cause the and destroy the property of others? Shochulei. So they sent back to him. No, you can't. Torah says you cannot save yourself. Even if it's a matter of life or death, you cannot take someone else's property in order to save yourself. Aval, but melachata, you are the king. Umelach poretz lasot lo derach. The king can literally burst forth. The king can take property from others to make a road. No one can stop him. The law of eminent domain. The government can take property. So in general, the answer is no. But melach is different. So yes, you can do that if you think it's necessary for the country. So that bottom line is where we're going to focus on there, the Asul Hatzil.
But Danny, the answer is the king has eminent domain.
Yes. So, but the one we want to focus on is the fact that, in general, Asul Hatzil Asma Mamun Chavera. I desperately need something for you. Life or death matter. Torah says I can't take it from you. The king is different, the eminent domain. But so Tosfos bothered by this. Because it's kukuach nefesh, a matter of life or death, that should override all the other mitzvot. So why can't I take your stuff? Why can't I bring your field down? There's an issur of lo tignov. I can't steal.
Where does it say kukuach nefesh?
Well, it's the argument that lahatzil atzmo, to save oneself.
Oh.
Okay?
From death.
Okay. Whatever it is, even from death. I mean, that's what the Gemara seems to be saying, that even from death, that Pekuach Nefesh should override the Lo Tignov. That's right. A halachic question.
Right.
The Tosfot says, no, I'm going to weaken the question. Ma'al Hatzi Asma Mon Chavero. Tosfot says, no, Ibaile, he was asking, Ichayev L'Shalem. I required the payback. We know that. Clearly, Pekuach Nefesh, I can do what I need to do, but do I have to pay you back afterwards? Given what I did was permissible from Pekuach Nefesh. Is that the question? That's not the problem is that with the Tosfot, that's not what Gemara is saying at all. Gemara says, Asur, can't do it. The Raavad, we're going to quote later, takes it literally. Pekuach does not allow taking from others. Now, the flip side of it is that I have an obligation to save you and to use my property to do that. Right, that's the mitzvah of lo tamor al dam reyacha. Can't stand by your fellow's blood. I have an obligation to use my property. So, if you're stuck in the field, I have to say, yes, go ahead and burn it if you need to in order to save your life. is not the same thing as saying that you can't take it from me. And the other side of it is that the Torah doesn't define what it means by having it. So the idea of Melech Poritz Lasot Derech, the eminent domain, basically says, yes, Torah protects your property rights, property being very broadly defined, but the Mamlacha gets to define what counts as your property. You can say, you don't own that anymore. That's what Poritz Lasot means. Similarly, there's Hefker, Beit Din, Hefker. Beit Din in general can say that you thought that was yours, it's not yours anymore. You're just taken away from you and given it to somebody else. Dina de Malchut Adina. Civil government as well can say, this is your property, this is not. So the Torah basically says, you have property rights, but leaves it open to society as a whole to determine what property means. What can I own? What do I have rights to do with things that I have? And that applies to all sorts of things. It applies to money, it applies to land. Right? There's societies that don't, you can't own land. Supposedly Native Americans felt that way. Objects, right? I got my own coffee cup. Can you take that away? Owning other human beings. Torah allows that to happen. Society can say, no, that's not a possible thing. That's not a property. Positions of authority. You know, is being the king inherited? Is being the president inherited? Is being the gabbai inherited? For the Rambam, it is. Right? I'm going to pass on my gabbai. Right, Leah, you're next in line to be gabbai Young Israel.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Right. Does that apply today? You know, body parts. Can I sell my kidneys?
Right.
Right. So in other words, the Torah doesn't say yes or no on that. It says once we've determined that you have something that's yours, then someone else can't take it away from you. Okay. Even your own life. Sorry. And we talked about this in terms of Shimon Shkop approach to financial halacha. The halacha puts the laws in place, but the details of what counts as property, what counts as money, is left up to society to decide. So the Gemara talks about this in terms of the civil law that Yoshua implemented when he first came to Eretz Israel. Here are the laws. There's a whole series of them. Tanra Banan, Asara Tanaim Hitana Yoshua, that Yoshua established 10 conditions that basically focused on what you could or couldn't take from other people in terms of establishing public rights away. And one of them is Hatoa Ben Akramim, someone who's lost in a vineyard. Mafsig V'yored can tear them up and go down. Mafsig V'olek can tear them up and go up if he needs to get out. We just said
Mafsig is to tear, T-E-A-R?
Yeah, to tear up, to uproot.
Oh, uproot, okay.
Right, he's in a vineyard. If I'm lost in your vineyard, I'm in danger. I can't get out. I can uproot your vines in order to get out.
Right.
That's a lot of hard work.
What?
I said that's a lot of hard work to uproot these vineyards.
And isn't that the same pikuach nefesh?
Ah, very good. So that exactly is the way the Ravid says it. Is that the halacha says you can't do it. The Tanai that Yeshua said, again, that's civil law, said you can.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, so yes, if it's someone else's property, the Talka said you can't take it away. Part of the Tanai that Yeshua set up, one of the laws that Yeshua set up in Eretz Yisrael is that in that situation, you no longer have property rights to that.
Not your property, right.
Not your property. Okay. Your fellow man who's stuck there has the right to go tear that up.
Interesting.
Okay, that's the way the rabbi puts it. Tanai Yeshua Lama, what's this Tanai mean? Equal memory, I would say. That without that, he would be forbidden to tear up, uproot, mafsig, your neighbor's vines without asking their permission. Yes, they should be obligated to do it. So obviously, if it's just a matter of being lost, they should get you out. But Tanahi and the law that Yeshua set, that yes, you can uproot, but have to pay him back. Masha Armullah Asur Lisrup. In David's case, when they said, David, you can't tear it down, was there without, David cannot ask the actual owners for permission to do that. So the hypothetical, so we call it the ideal halakha, is no, you can't. The practical halakha, which I want to put it that way, because it's not that the hypothetical is the better, right? I mean, society decides these are the laws that we need to implement, and that's fine. But once we've decided that this is my property, I control it, then you can't take it away from me. And so Rav Cinnamon, who did this Yarche Kal, is asking more about Tamei HaMitzvah, the reason behind it. Why doesn't Pikuach Nefesh override that? Pikuach Nefesh should say, I should be, you know, it says, don't lo tignov, I can't take your property, I can't hurt you, I should be able to do whatever I need to do to save my life. And he starts with Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, the author of the Meshech Chachma, which I always thought was interesting because the Meshech Chachma, I'll call him that, wrote two svarim. One is the Or Sameach, which is commentary on the Rambam. It's very halachic, very detailed, clearly knows all of the Gemara, knows all of the Rambam. The Meshech Chachma is his commentary on Chumash. So everyone who does all these Chumash Yerim always quotes the Meshech Chachma. So evidently, Meir Simcha wrote the Meshech Chachma first. First draft was late teenager, so he was 17, wrote the Meshech Chachma. And he wanted to publish it immediately. His grandfather told him, you can't do that. You're brilliant. If you publish the Meshech Chachma, Meshech Chachma first, you'll be known as a darshan, as a Chumash commentator, and that's going to ruin your reputation. No one's going to believe you're a Talmud Chacham if all you're doing is Chumash. You publish your, you got to print your Or Sameach first, which took him his whole life to do, because otherwise people are going to think you're just a Chumash kind of guy, and that just tells you about the stereotypes we have about Talmidei Chachamim. So if you publish the Or Sameach afterwards, nothing will change. You're not going to get a job as a rabbi if everyone thinks that you're a Chumash Darshan. And evidently the introduction to the Meshech Chachma. So the Meshech Chachma actually wasn't published until after his death. He never got around to publishing it. He always had this manuscript.
The Or Sameach he published while he was alive?
Yes.
Okay.
Or Sameach, I think, was in his 30s or 40s. I don't know how old he was. He died in 1920, 21. But the Meshech Chachma never published. So he was known as the as a posek from the across the Or Sameach, not as a darshan on Chumash. But now everyone quotes him on Chumash. Everyone does a Chumash, loves Chumash. You can see I showed that's my Meshech Chachma, and that's my every other page has got post-it notes on it on there. We're all going to love the Meshech Chachma. So evidently, this is in the introduction to the published or Meshech Chachma. It says about this, Mekubal Davar, everyone knows, Sherabbeinu Amar Yamim Lefnei Ptirato, that Meir Simcha Dvinsk, the author of Meshech Chachma, said a few days before he died, to Lashona, quote, Lebati La'alma Haden, Biglal Ha'or Sameach. I didn't come to the world because of the Or Sameach. Halom Yachol Likadem Gambali Or Sameach. The world can exist even if I never wrote the Or Sameach. There are plenty of commentaries on the Rambam. What the world needs now, who's safer, Meshech Chachma. We need the Meshech Chachma.
Do you see my message, Danny?
It's printed backwards. What does it say? That's interesting. It's going backwards. We gotta translate that. Don Amaro.
I had it on my Hebrew script, but I was trying to write your audio is failing.
Uh-huh. What's going backwards?
And Stuart, can you hear Danny?
Yeah, can you hear me? I just came back.
Oh, that sounds better.
I was having problems too, Mark.
Yeah. I'm gonna put in the wire connector. Hold on a second. Thank you. Sorry, my internet connection is unstable here.
I can relate to that.
Okay. Now I've now I'm wired. Well, it should be okay.
That's better. You mean you were on Wi-Fi before?
I was on Wi-Fi. Now I am wired to this, so hopefully it'll last.
Right.
Okay, let's go back to share screen. So we get the part about that the world needs a Meshech Chachma. So we're gonna start with a Meshech Chachma, and this is gonna connect us to this week's parsha.
Okay.
Okay. So this week's parsha is the story. Moshe is sent to go tell Paro, "Let my people go," and Moshe says, "No, I don't want to go." Spends a week saying no. Hashem eventually tells him, "You gotta go," and then he goes back to Midian to get permission get leave from his father-in-law, and Hashem tells him, source 9, Vayomer Hashem and Moshe, Vimidyan, Lech Shuv Mitzrayim. Go back to Egypt. He made to call Hashem and Rakshim and Nefshecha, because all the people who sought your life, all your enemies have now died. And the Meshech Chacham looks at this and says, Lech Shuv Mitzrayim, ki made to call Hashem, right? Go back because your enemies have died. Muchach, this proves the im hayu chayim, that if they were actually alive, mavakshim et nafsho, those who sought to kill you, lo yatzarech lelech, don't see b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. He would not have had to go back. Hashem wouldn't have forced him to go back if he was still in danger. Ava pisha kol Yisrael tzrichim elav, even though everybody clearly needs him. That's a pikuach nefesh issue. If you delay, more Jews are going to die, but still. Don't have to allow yourself to be in danger. And this, from this statement of Hashem, of Kimetu Kon Hashem, from which we can prove that he would not have had to go back if his life was in danger, then the Mishnah says, someone who is a negligent manslaughter, exiled to the Ir Miklat, has to stay in the Ir Miklat, because if he leaves, the Goel Hadam, the nearest relative of the victim, can kill him. Halakhically, he's allowed to do that. So he can't leave the Ir Miklat. So that as such a person, I feel a kol Yisrael sirhim elav, Yoav ben Tzruya, that even if everyone needs him, example of Yoav, who is David's general, right, we need to fight a war, we need you to come out of the Ir Miklat, you know, Yotze, he's not forced to leave. And this is the Mishnah says about that. And a yotzei lo yidit mitzvah, lo yidit mamon, he doesn't leave, even if he's needed to be a witness, lo yidit nefashot, even in a capital case, that he could save someone's life by being a witness, we don't force him to leave. Afilu kol Yisrael tzriachim lo, even if everyone needs him. Afilu sar tzava Yisrael, Yoav ben Tzruya, even if he's the general of all Israel, Yoav eno yotzei misham olam, he doesn't leave. In the sense, in Yisrael Olam, as the Yachin Boaz says, if he leaves intentionally, then his life is potentially in danger. Now, you don't know that the Goel Hadam is going to hurt him, but you're not forced to put your life in danger in order to save anyone, no matter how remote the chances. You're allowed to. You can volunteer. And we're going to bring an example, obviously, of Esther, who did exactly that. We don't force you to do that. The Torah won't force you. And the Ar Sameach goes on from there. So now we're going from the Meshech HaMachumash to the halachic side of it, and say that's true for body parts as well. Okay? Torah doesn't demand that risk injury, even if there's no risk of life, in order to save someone else. Right? Bottom line is, you cannot steal my kidneys. You can't come for my liver. We know Monty Python?
Yeah.
Okay. And he goes further than that and says that that's true of property as well. And this is part of this basically continuum there, that you can't steal my property to save yourself either. But this all goes into the same property. This is Yor Samech. Osif Rabbeinu Tam Lama Yetzei, that the Rambam adds the reason why he is not forced to go out. Although Pikuach Nefesh, Docha Kol Mitzvah Shebatara, so Pikuach Nefesh hypothetically should override this mitzvah of don't leave the Ir Mikvah, and you're going to save lives. We kol shekein pekuach nefesh to kol Yisrael. Obviously, pekuach nefesh, saving all of Israel, should certainly override any kind of Isser. The Esther Yehuchiach and what Esther did by going to Achashverosh proves that you're allowed to do that. Rak, v'ker kliopo lev, that Hashem, who understands hearts and minds, so we're not going to question that. Who omer, ki im yecham levav ha-goel, that if the Redeemer, the Goel Adam, is inspired, kilam elo mishpat mavet, the Goel Adam is not considered guilty, is not guilty of a crime there, so therefore this person is in danger if he walks out. Since he could be killed, he's not required to put himself in danger, even to save someone else from a certain danger. And the Or Sameach says that it was quoted the Rabbat Radbaz, who's an earlier Achron, said that you have to be willing to give up a body part, a limb, to save someone else. Right? Am I obligated to give up a kidney? You relieved it. Okay, and he says no, that kidney is not the case. And so Rav Cinnamon puts us on attaches this as life, body parts, money on a continuum as well. And that's, we say that I can't take your kidney, I can't take your property either. And he connects it to a right of privacy. But this is mine. This is my area. I make decisions of it. These are my rights. And Phyllis told me that I'm wrong, that this is wrong because right of privacy explicitly excludes property rights. But we talked about the fact that at least in halacha, that there is in fact a continuum. That lo tamar al dam reyacha is interpreted in the Gemara as also lo tamar al damim reyacha. I can't let my fellow man be injured. I can't let his property be lost as well. It's a continuum in terms of the judgment there. And similarly, Hashavat Aveda doesn't just apply to money, but also applies to helping them health-wise, saving them from injury, saving their life. That is all a Hashavat Aveda. So there is this continuum there that property rights and privacy rights blend into each other in halacha. And that the Torah says, you have your own domain. Now, society decides what that is, as we said. The king can say, no, that's not yours anymore. Once we've gotten there, this is yours and you decide it. What you should do is help someone else, that someone else can't take it from you. And when the imposes that kind of gezeira, says, no, you no longer have rights to that, like the Yeshua saying that someone else can go in and pull up your vineyard, it may be necessary for Tikkun Olam, for society to exist, but we're losing something in terms of our own personal rights as well. And what he says, that's the message of Timita Kolon Hashem Avakshim Nafshech. Hashem is not going to force you to sacrifice anything. You can make the decision, Moshe. But Israel can't demand that Moshe sacrifice. And that's what it means to be an individual, a human being, that we have to make our own decisions. And Moshe is making his own decisions as well. And you found it interesting, if you go to the website, you'll actually link to what Rabbi Cinnamon actually said. Ooh. If it means anything, if I said it correctly there.
I still don't fully understand Or Sameach. So the person, I just want to make sure I understand it right. So he's saying that the reason that the person doesn't, even though it's a suffix, if he's in Sakana and it's a Vadai that everyone else is in Sakana, he's not obligated to because that's his own property?
Well, as Rav Sim, I think, is making that, is something that you have the right to make decisions on.
Okay, but I don't understand the reasoning of the Or Sameach. What is he trying to, how is he deriving that?
That is a good question. It's not clear to me why he's just pulling that from the Or Sameach. And I think we have to look at the Or Sameach in more detail there.
Okay,
so again, so it's privacy. In other words, in the sense of making decisions about me, which includes both life, limb, property as well, and all those things. But he says that it's got to be a kind of a meta halakhic principle. It's got to be higher than a specific isser, because pikuach nefesh should override that.
Right. It's only because
pikuach nefesh doesn't override that. It must be something beyond that. That these are things that Hashem has said. These are yours. It's not even within my realm of options of taking something away.
Oh, it's like Ibn Ezra saying about not being low, what's it called? In the Ezra Sedibro, saying that it's like imagining that this is your sphere. You're the farmer trying to steal from the, but you just, it's not even within the realm of possibility.
Oh, that's right, Ibn Ezra, on Lo Tachmo.
Lo Tachmo, but maybe that's the kind of the idea, is that we're, it's not even like, it's not even a possibility.
Right, right. It's more than just you're not allowed to take it. This isn't in the realm of your world at all. Because it's
right.
Possible.
Well,
what about the idea of there being a draft?
Right, so that is exactly right. That's the government side of it. That's the Dina de Malchuta Dina side. Yeah. Right, the government is saying, right, society, right, government as a representative of our civil, social contract, of society as a whole is saying, no, at this point, you no longer have a right to your own life. Okay?
That supersedes all this.
I'm sorry?
This supersedes all of this. That the government.
Right. I mean, that's what we said before. That we have this idea that you know, society decides what counts as your, we'll call it property or privacy. What counts as your domain, the things that you make decisions on. And they can say, yes, this is you. You make decisions. You can do this. You can't do that. Once that exists, then the Torah says that I as an individual can't take that from you.
Okay, but as a government, there are other things at work.
Right.
Okay. So wait, Danny, just to clarify, on Sunday, are we at our normal time?
Yes.
Okay, just
9 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Can I bring Abba?
Sure.